All right, you brimstone clones, it's time to dust off your starter jackets, rip off those tearaways and blow into your game cartridges. I'm Sam Blandford.
I'm Sean Kelly, and we wish it was the 90s. Welcome back to another episode of us trying to keep up with X-Men 97, poorly. So poorly, we actually had to boot Sellers.
Poor Pat.
Like Bishop in the intro for the fourth episode, didn't make the cut. You wouldn't have noticed that, Sam, because you skipped the intro.
I did watch it, actually. Magneto's so good.
Yeah, it is real good. I'll come back to that. There's a couple of things I've noticed about the intros. But, so we're trying to do fortnightly recaps, discussions, whatever. We're not really calling them reviews because there's literally 1 million other options out there for that. We're just talking about it as a nice continuation of our 72-episode slog of X-Men the Animated Series. Before we get stuck in, though, feel free to hit us up on the socials. I don't know if you've checked in lately, but our TikTok of Storm from the first episode has got literally thousands of views.
On us. Storm.
Yeah, she deserves it, the Omega. So it's at WIWT90S, wish it was the 90s, on... what are we? Insta, TikTok, Facebook, and it's where you can probably find us on all the other platforms if you've discovered us somehow on YouTube. But I reckon if you type in X-Men 97 to YouTube, we'll come up in probably the 500th hit.
Are you following a X-Men 97 review podcast of some description?
Nah, because I don't want other ideas to influence what I'm thinking. But because I'm so into it, as you know, my algorithms are definitely suggesting all sorts of things. My Facebook recommendations are either X-Men 97 clips or snippets of British TV comedy shows of the last 20 years. his name, I was going to say Brian Davies. I don't know if that's right. He was a school teacher and now he's a comedian.
He's the guy on The Inbetweeners.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not Brian Davies, but he's great.
Yeah, somewhat Davies. Yeah, he's phenomenal. I think he's on one, he runs one of the shows.
He's Taskmaster.
He's the Taskmaster, but he's real good whenever he's on a 8 out of 10 Cats Do Countdown or one of those. Yeah, he's phenomenal.
He's very good.
Anyway, I digress. We've got Fire Made Flesh and we've got Motendo / Life Death Part 1. Sam, you were mentioning off air. I feel like there was a little bit of drop off this week. These weeks.
Well, literally, the fact that episode 4 has two different titles doesn't lead me to believe that this X-Men 97, when it's not long for us. They're trying to squeeze a lot in.
I was going to say that at the end. Did you feel like we were rushing through? I feel like Fire Made Flesh, which is an episode based on a crossover event from the late 80s called Inferno, could carry 4 or 5 episodes, even a season.
Yeah, I think they probably... worried, or they're just like, oh, we're actually only going to do 10 episodes. Mm. I couldn't believe that Mojo, was it Mojo Vision or just Mojo?
The guy or the episode?
No, in the second place. Episode.
Yeah, Mojo.
Yeah, I just couldn't believe he's already come in. I was like, what happened to the last episode? What? Give me Sinister for three or four more episodes.
Well, there's a in the Motendo episode, there's a bit where Jubilee's bemoaning Magneto, not wanting to go to an arcade or something.
And calling him a helmet head. That was Jube's best moment.
And she mugs off Cyclops and Jean for skiving off to she says, I can't remember what she says, political stuff or something. And Roberto's just like, Genosha becoming part of the UN's a big deal. I'm like, that's a big deal. I'd probably rather sit there and watch that that conversation in the UN summit than Jubilee. We'll get to that episode. I actually enjoyed Fire Made Flesh. I watched it twice because I didn't write any notes the first time, and I quite enjoyed it. So there's a few things I notice that I'll just run through really quickly before we talk in, I was going to say in depth. We don't do in depth. We talk more about it.
We used to do in depth.
Beast, when Beast tells us that when he works out which gene's the real gene, at least from a biology standpoint, he talks about the use of gamma rays, which is a reference to the Hulk. That's how he became Hulky. There's a couple other references in there. Morph turns into Magic. And they're doing the raid on Sinister's castle. Magic's, do you remember Colossus, the hunking Russian? It's his little sister.
Oh, yeah, makes sense.
She's got some ties to the Goblin Queen, and that's sort of where they're from. And then when when Morph gets turned evil, turns into Dark Child, which is the evil side of Magic, which is cool. If you feel like they're using Morph as like that Leonardo DiCaprio meme.
Another indicator that makes me think there's not actually going to be many episodes, them trying to squeeze a lot of extra characters in that way.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, so I mean, just quickly on the episode, right? Carrying on straight away from Random Jean turning up, we find out that Random Jean's a real Jean because her body's actually X amount of years old, and Jean, who just had a baby, is much younger. So a clone. And I'm like, how are they going to deal with this? No time to deal with it. 20 seconds later, Sinister's chatting through the baby monitor, and clone Jean goes full Goblin Queen, which I thought there was some cool imagery and spooky stuff, which we can come back to. Then Jean comes out of a coma and disperses of the Goblin Queen. She takes off with baby Nathan, and Mag sends a strike team to take care of Sinister. And, after the Goblin Queen does a number on them, Jean psychically sends herself over there and clone Jean goes to Goblin Queen in an instant. And then in an instant, she's back to being a good guy. And they sort of save Nathan. Sinister gets away. And then they find out that he's infected Nathan with the techno-organic virus.
what was that thing in the sewers that it was like hieroglyphs that infected people?
Oh, I forgot about that episode.
It was similar to that.
I think it is. So the techno-organic virus it's a big thing in X-Men lore because of Nathan. Basically, do you know who Nathan grows up to be?
I feel like there was something in the original series about this, but definitely not.
Okay, good. I won't spoil that then. So timely as hell, Bishop's time travel device is fixed. And so he has to take baby Nathan to the future where maybe there's technology that can save him.
What did he used to say? There's not enough of that. Is it like time slide by one?
Oh, that was Cable.
Cable. What did he used to say? It wasn't
the time slide. I'm sure it was time slide.
Something like that.
Body slide.
Body.
body slide by two.
Just quickly on the episode, a couple of things. Morph is very, very good comic relief. At the expense of Wolverine slash Meg, but is like Wolverine pretty much just wasn't in the episode. I love the where he put in the Rogue and Magneto using the Danger Room over and over and over. That was so good.
Go easy on him, Morph.
But Wolverine's reveling. I'm actually going to say this. I reveled in One Eye not confirming that she was the real Jean at the start.
I know that people don't like One Eye. When Pat messaged us and said, just watch episode 3, One Eye's still a dick or whatever. I was thinking like, you can't actually, like, there's no way to actually wrap your head around the idea of, like, one day finding out that your wife might be a clone of your other wife. There's no way to go, like, I wouldn't act like that.
He was very skeptical, though, and he played it very well.
The only thing I didn't like from him is, like, I really liked that he couldn't handle the idea of sending Nathan to the future. But then when he just leaves, like, I'm sure you'd want to say goodbye to your baby.
Yeah. Yeah. It was very odd behavior all around from Scott. I was expecting him, obviously, at the start to be, to not be skeptical. I was expecting him to jump to Jean's or the whatever Jean.
Whichever Jean he chose.
Yeah. Jean just, she went massively down in my books. Not worth the effort. She's like, at one girl whose crazy level just like far outweighs her hotness level.
Yeah, well, I've got a question for you. So this is some stuff I've seen some speculation on. At the end, Jean and Maddie Pryor.
I'd like to know about Maddie Pryor.
I'll tell you about Maddie in a minute, but talk about how they have no idea when Maddie came into existence. And so when do you think in the original series the swap happened?
Oh fuck, this is really testing my memory. But wasn't there a time where Jean just like went into space for a while?
Yeah, when she was Phoenix.
I'm guessing then.
So there's two theories I've seen. Well, there's one heaps of people say. The first couple of episodes of season 2, Sinister kidnaps Cyclops and Jean.
Because they're getting married. They're getting married.
Yeah. Yeah. And because he wants their DNA to make a baby or whatever. So lots of people saying that's when they swapped. And I'm like, I can't buy into that. You can't have the fake Jean doing all that Phoenix shit. That would just take away from all of that. It would make all that stuff a little bit redundant. But there's an episode, maybe at the end of season 4, where Apocalypse and Sinister try to capture 12 mutants to do something. I can't remember what he was doing, but he wants all their power or something. And Jean's one of them, and Sinister's his lackey. And I wonder if Sinister did the odd switcheroo then.
Is this part of the theory, or is this just your theory?
That was my addition to the theory, because I don't subscribe to the start of season 2, because this would be after pretty much all the good stuff, and the only stuff that Jean's a clone for is season 5, which sucked.
Yeah, I like that theory better than season 2. I don't know, Jean has really gone down in my books.
I'd like to point out some things I liked about Jean. I assume when we're saying Jean, we mean the real Jean? Or are we just going to speak about both of them as Jean?
I'm quite confused. So
well, didn't you notice the real Jean ties her hair in a pony, so you can tell the difference?
So the Goblin Queen,
mm.
That's the older Jean.
No, that's the clone.
Oh, that's the. I thought the clone was the older Jean. Okay.
No.
So that's the one who. But I thought you said just before the younger one's the one who had the baby.
So the clone had the baby.
Oh my gosh, I am frigging confused. Poor bloody One Eye.
Yeah.
That's just.
Also, like, really... if you're the real Jean, you're like, I don't know how long I've been kidnapped for. My mind's fucked. But also, my husband had a baby with someone else. Yes, it was a clone of me, but
that's tough. So that's crazy. It was, I've got to say, what's the rating on this, these episodes?
TV 14.
I was,
because there's blood and stuff,
blood, hookups. Sinister was awesome. Creepy.
When you were talking about the rating, I thought you were going to reference that Morph offering to get Wolverine's parts he can't reach in the shower.
Another great Morph moment.
That sent the anti-woke brigade into overdrive.
I had a question, but I'm actually going to wait to ask you that question in the second episode.
Yeah, I'll go through a couple of things. I'll tell you about Maddie first. So in the comic books, I think we talked about this at the time, in the real Dark Phoenix saga, in the comics, Jean sacrifices herself and dies. And it was supposed to be permanent. Most comic book deaths aren't, but it was supposed to be. Not long after Scott meets Madeline Pryor, who looks a bit like Jean, but that's about it. It's not like a thing that's anywhere. I don't think it really comes up that much. Maybe someone makes a reference to it, but it's, I don't think it's, the original writer has said it was never intended to go down this clone path. His intention was that Cyclops has been through a shitload. He's the original X-Men. He's done all this stuff. He's going to meet someone, fall in love, and leave the X-Men and live happily ever after. And that was his intention for Cyclops, to leave the team and have the life that he never thought he could have.
Good. Should have done that.
And then editorial in the mid-80s said they want to do another X-Men book. So you've got Uncanny X-Men, Storm, Wolverine, or Meg, Colossus, Nightcrawler, Rogue, a few others. Rogue might come in a bit later, I can't remember. Anyway, they're doing their own thing and they want another X-Men book, and they call it X-Factor, and they get the original five together. So Beast, Angel, Cyclops, Jean,
Angel,
yeah, and Iceman. But Jean's dead, and that guy who wrote Jean's death argued, do not bring her back. You'll ruin her story, Scott's story, and the X-Men. So they got a different writer to write X-Factor. And the story they came up with was, when Jean was taken over by the Phoenix, it wasn't her body. The Phoenix put her body in a cocoon at the bottom of the river and assumed her likeness. And so with the help of the Fantastic Four, they woke her up out of her cocoon.
And what do X-Men fans think about that?
This is the X-Men fans' biggest hatred of Cyclops, this next thing I'm about to say. So Cyclops is currently, in canon, married to Madeline Pryor with a son, Nathan, living in Alaska. He gets a phone call from Angel. And he's like, Scott, you won't believe it. Jean's alive. Leaves his wife and kid and goes and joins X-Factor. And then to try and make sense, and like maybe to make Cyclops not be a dick or whatever, they come up with a story that Madeline Pryor was a clone made by Sinister.
Mm.
And the techno-organic virus, that's actually in the comics. I don't think that's Sinister. I think it's Apocalypse. But we'll find. We'll get. Yeah, but so that's the weird and twisted. In the comics, Cyclops and Jean start raising the baby, even though it's not Jean's. And then when it gets the virus, they send it off into the future. And then in the 90s,
Is it they like go. Is it Cable? Did you? We talk about this in the first one, but
we've talked about Cable.
Maybe you alluded to it or something. No, he's like, isn't he like Native American Cable?
No, he's a silver fox with a sparkly eye.
Oh, I'm thinking of Bishop.
But yeah, so yeah, they end up going to the future and raising him for a while, and it's all weird. It's the let's not go into the Summers family.
Sounds shit.
It's fucked. Yeah. So what am I looking for? Some good things.
There weren't many. Sean, I didn't like it.
You didn't like Fire Made Flesh?
I just felt like it was really rushed.
It was really rushed. But there's still moments. Like when Sinister's looking cool through the monitor, he goes, yes, that's why I made you, baked you. Mm. Every cell in you belongs to me.
His voice is great.
Yeah, all the photos that are flying around the room in Scott and Jean's room are like either like X-Men covers or like nods to things. That scene when the mansion's becoming haunted and Gambit walks in on Rogue and Magneto, skin melting together. that's sick.
Yeah, Gambit. Gambit had it rough in this episode too.
Yeah. And in the next episode when Magneto mugs him off at the coffee table.
Poor old Gambit.
I like when Beast goes to the elevator and there's some weird monster and he's like, oh dear, looks like one of us has the wrong floor.
There weren't any fight scenes really in this one, eh? Like there was,
I was gonna say, except when they were in that pit or whatever. And I really like the part where Bishop's like, yo, Cyclops, hit me. And Cyclops powers him up. And then Bishop turns around. And which would probably be looked back at in 20 years, this racial stereotype talk. Time for an exorcism, punks.
Even yo, hit me.
And it was, I like that Jean was the one who saved them with, like, they're clearly overpowering her a bit as well than she was in the original. I thought.
Do we see Forge at the end of this episode as well?
Yep. You're a big Forge fan, eh?
Forge is a guy who can just make anything.
Yeah.
He doesn't need overpowering. That is outrageous.
Funny, there's a comic book that came out maybe this year. And like a young inventor meets Forge and discovers that he can make whatever he wants. And she's like, how do you do it though? Like, do you like see a blueprint in your mind or something? And he's like, oh, I just sort of start doing things and it comes together.
I get Forge. I got Forge, Bishop and Cable all mixed up.
That's fair. I like Morph's little trip down Sinister Trauma Lane. Like, I'm glad they acknowledged that in quite a couple of ways.
And it went back to his face from the original, like, you know, with those real dark shadows
big bags
under his eyes, yeah.
I also think even though Magneto's not in it much, he commands the room every time he's in it, although I did question him taking a strike team and not picking Meg.
Look, it was a very disappointing lack of Meg in these two episodes.
Mm. Anything else? Like, it was real quick, but I did feel, even though I knew it was coming, I know what happens to baby Nathan. I was quite sad that his parents had to do that. You know, like, as a father, Sam, you know, no one wants to
in the feels.
A little bit. And then, yeah, have you got anything else to say about that, or do you want to get into Motendo?
Well, I wouldn't say I want to get into Motendo, but I have things to say about Motendo.
I will note that, obviously, we already mentioned that Bishop's not in the intro for this episode, but also the Jean scene where she does that whatever thing she does with her telekinetic powers or whatever, in the first three episodes, her hair's out, in this one. She's got her head tied up.
Mm.
Nod to the two genes.
I like the hair tied up better.
Mm. Oh, well, it makes more sense from a combat perspective.
This next episode, double jubes. I mean, does anything else need to be said?
All I'll say about double jubes is the old jubes is voiced by the OG jubes, which I guess
you
is
did
nice.
Mention this yeah. in our last episode. I did. I thought, this is how they've brought her back.
Mm. The other thing I'd say is I had a real laugh at our first look at Mojo when he kind of looked like fat bastard on the Subway diet. My neck's like a vagina.
I heard he had an almost Jonah Hill like weight loss transformation. fat bastard wasn't bad either.
Yeah, I never.
But then
really
when he comes out later, he comes out of the TV later, and he's fat again.
So I think they tried to explain in this episode that he gains weight by viewer numbers.
I completely missed that. I must not have been paying attention.
I've never been a big Mojo fan, and I was surprised they shoehorned this in. I guess I didn't mind. There's a scene in it where Jubilee looks like an actual arcade character, and it's very much like one of the X-Men arcade games. But when I went back to rewatch these episodes, I skipped Matendo and went to Life Death.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, fuck, I hate Jubilee, eh? They had a chance to get rid of her with this reboot, and it's almost like they've doubled down. She's in every episode.
She's kind of annoying as like Roberto seems interesting.
Yeah. Give me more him.
Yeah. Why does he have to be paired up with her?
What's his character again? What's his name?
Sunspot.
He appeared in like one episode in the original way, or two maybe.
Maybe on like a screen or something, like very limited. His best friend's Cannonball, who's the one that Pat always talks about.
Well, I was going to say, Pat, I think, mentioned Sunspot in the last one podcast.
Mm. I feel like, same thing to what you're saying. Why was Life Death only 10 minutes? That should have been hot. Storm and Forge in the desert. I was here for it, man.
Well, and the fact that it was only 10 minutes, I've got like, at the start of the 10 minutes, he's like, any friend of Xavier's is a friend of mine. And that's like the start of their love story. And then the end of the episode, it's finished. Like,
yeah,
so he declares his love for her after 6 minutes. I was like, what the hell's going on here?
So I was like, Life Death is another like straight from the comics thing from the 80s. And from my knowledge, they hit a lot of the beats of Life Death in 6 minutes.
Yeah, it was bizarre. Forge was bloody skinny too. I thought he was a bit more muscly than that.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, credit where credit's due. Those shorts.
Storm's
those
so
Parramatta Parramatta Eels shorts.
It's like Nathan Hindmarsh.
But I like Forge and I like Storm and I actually like their romance. Like it's long ongoing in the comics. And I like that they didn't gloss over the, like he did invent technology that could take mutants' powers away and he does try to help Storm and that's something they have to reconcile with. And I like all of that, but again, I thought when Storm left, I was like, oh, they're going to do that season two thing where Charles and Magneto are in the Savage Land and you get like 10 minutes of that an episode or 5 minutes of that an episode. But instead, there's obviously going to be a part two where they fight this villain, the adversary who pops up at the end. But it's like, yeah.
Storm
just,
gets her powers back.
Yeah. Apparently, from my knowledge, I don't know much about the adversary, but I think some sort of ancient villain of the Cheyenne people, of which Forge is a Cheyenne Native American. But yeah, just I would give anything to remove that Motendo shit from my memory and have a full episode of Storm and Forge in the desert.
Forge mentioned a scientist in Scotland. Is he referring to Moira MacTaggert?
He's definitely referring to Moira. Oh, Charles.
There was a bit more romance in this one again, with both the hookup with Jubes and Sunspot. Mm. And then did they hook up or just he tried it on and she mugged him off?
I don't know if they hooked up, but it seemed like I felt like genuine romancing was going on in that 3-minute montage.
Mojo's voice was extremely disconcerting, and I heard at the start of the episode, Muty made a comeback. Someone got called a Muty. I can't remember who. I got a question, Bob.
Yeah, here we go.
So this is my question, but it has a stipulation, is what are your X-Men villain? What is your Mount Rushmore of X-Men villains? But the villains need to have appeared in both comics and the TV series.
Okay. First question. Can I put Magneto on there?
He came to mind. I think for the purpose of... Yeah. I think he has to be on there.
So the first three are easy then.
Yes, Magneto, I agree.
Apocalypse, Sinister.
And then you're actually going to rank them after this too.
Okay. And then who are the villains? Who are the other villains we deal with? We got Graydon Creed. He sucked.
Oliver Trask.
Bolivar. Bolivar. That's not it. No one's named Bolivar.
What's his name?
Bolivar Trask.
That's what I said.
I thought you said Oliver.
Definitely Bolivar. I definitely got that one.
It's the only Bolivar I've ever heard of. Can you
Master Mold?
I was going to say Master Mold. I was going to say the Sentinels, but you go Master Mold. I guess you'd go the Shadow King. He sucked. The Friends of Humanity.
Who's the leader of that?
Well, it's currently that executioner guy, but he got taken away.
So, just rank those three, Magneto.
No, Sinister. I've got a fourth.
Oh, you got a fourth.
Sabretooth.
Oh, yeah. Great. Fantastic. That's a very good. That's a very good Mount Rushmore. Okay, so you've got to
first rank of all, them. Does this Mount Rushmore look over Bad Guy Bar?
It's definitely in the plains of Scotland.
Mm.
It's where their plane comes out of in like New Jersey.
Oh, yeah, nice.
Cliff.
Yes. It's that cliff that's nowhere near the mansion. That runway is like 10 km long. All right, rank them.
Start with four.
It's harder to rank them when Magneto's in the list.
He can't be one, I don't think.
No. I'm going to make him four on the basis that he's a turncoat. Although, and ask me again at the end of the season, because if he turns bad again, he goes straight to one.
Yeah, agreed.
So four be Magneto, three Sabretooth.
This is the one I really want to know about.
This is hard, man. Apocalypse is What I like about Apocalypse is that although he's like an obvious just bad guy, he also has an ethos, you know, a philosophy.
Exactly what I was about to say. Sinister is just Sinister, and
But Sinister's ethos or whatever is like he's obsessed with genetic perfection, and so, like he's a mad scientist. But Apocalypse is he's the number one because he's a real villain with a purpose, survival of the fittest.
Apocalypse seems more bulletproof and Sinister. For some reason, maybe that's just the way he's been perceived.
I mean, realistically, based on what we know of Apocalypse, he shouldn't really lose.
No, definitely not.
No.
He
only loses because he has to. I actually had a thought about this. Because there's apparently season two's already been written and greenlit, and they're writing. Huh?
I thought this was it.
And apparently, I don't know if it's true or not, but it hasn't been written, but they want a season three as well. I thought because they're going to run out of 90s ammo, and they can go into the 2000s. There's some real good stuff at the start of the 2000s. This new X-Men run by Grant Morrison's really good, but I think we talked about it. They did like shades of it in some episodes in the original series. There's this Age of Apocalypse. I reckon you end a season with what starts the Age of Apocalypse, which is Xavier's son trying to kill Magneto to stop their rivalry and accidentally killing Charles. So he never exists, and everyone wakes up in a new timeline where Apocalypse has taken over North America, and it's a fucking hellhole.
Who's Xavier's son?
His name's Legion. He's a very complicated.
Sounds like a dud.
He's actually really interesting, but he's poorly represented. He's got multiple personality disorder or associate personality or whatever you call it, but because he was invented in the 80s, they didn't really do it right. But the gist of it is every one of his personalities has a different superpower to go with his personality, and he's completely unhinged. But in the Age of Apocalypse,
Chuck's son.
Yeah, didn't raise him either. Bad dad.
Who's the mum?
Gabrielle Haller. She might have popped up in an episode two.
Yeah, I think she did.
Yeah, they might have kind of touched on it with some flashback. But in the Age of Apocalypse, the X-Men are run by Magneto and Xavier's honor, and he's in a relationship with Rogue, which has obviously been alluded to in this. Wolverine's not in the X-Men. He's like a Rogue dude. Cyclops isn't in the X-Men. He works for Sinister.
Really?
Yeah, it's Age of Apocalypse is like, it's such a good alternate universe crossover that there's Marvel have tried to make versions, you know, different versions. Like there's a Age of Ultron and this and this that, and that then just never as good. And the point of view character in Age of Apocalypse is Bishop, because he wakes up in this new timeline, but because he is a time traveler, he remembers the old timeline. He's like, everything's fucked, this isn't right. And my pitch to Disney is end a season with Xavier being killed in the 60s or whatever, and do the whole next season as Age of Apocalypse.
They won't do that, but they should, because they should lean into the fact that probably everyone watching this is an old person and a comic book reader. Probably they're not. It's not your Saturday morning cartoons audience,
no,
is it?
No. My concern about the series is, they're obviously retreading lots of stuff from the 90s series, and they're using more 90s storylines, which is fine. But it's really nostalgia, lots of nostalgia bait, which I fall for all the time, which is cool. But they are restricting themselves to any new ideas doing something different that would be interesting. You know, like I see a title, Life Death. I kind of know what's coming. But even if they did Age of Apocalypse, but for a whole season, at least it's like a complete change from expecting just X-Men animated 90s stuff, you know?
I think I would much prefer to watch a Age of Apocalypse season than a... what was that place called? The... when they go to that... the Shadowlands. Or, no, not the Shadowlands. What's the... Where Magneto and Xavier... I hate
Savage
it.
Savage Land.
Savage Land. Then a Savage Land. That was fucking awful.
You know when Gambit walked in and saw Rogue and Magneto melting together and she's in like tattered rags for clothes? That's her Savage Land outfit from when she had a... I don't know if they hooked up, but she had a weird connection with Magneto in the 80s in the Savage Land. And for some reason she was in rags and he was just in his mags gear.
Bring back the Savage Lands. Big Rogue fan.
Yeah, I'm still adjusting to Rogue's voice actor aging 30 years.
Yeah, she didn't have to say much in this episode.
Nah. I did like the fact that at least she was worried that Gambit had been hurt when she came in after being on patrol with Magneto. But anyway, like, subscribe, follow, leave a comment, review, all those things. Mission accomplished, buddy.
Let's go home. Is it even Meg's voice? Does he say it?
Yep.
Oh, good.